number 17B.
All right, so we have taken that tone of spirit, and we have seen it. He talks all about faith, how to strengthen faith, that we come from faith to faith, and therefore that faith should uphold the weak. Just let me run quickly through the subtones so as to make it easy to see. So you would start out first by saying, now, how can the weak in faith be strengthened? Or perhaps in other words, he would say, now, how can that weak faith that we all have, how can that unfold until all nations will praise God, all nations will have that faith in Christ? How does that happen? And his way is a gentle way of development and not taking heaven by storm. He says, look here, you leave it to God, that's mine. You leave it to the power of God, and don't interfere. Don't argue about other people's faith. Don't argue about it. Don't have doubtful disputations. Don't have doubtful disputations. Leave it to the divine mind and the power of mind to lead thought rightly. At that moment, be tolerant. Come to spirit as spirit and says, the main thing is that we must be fully persuaded in our own mind in what we believe. That's the main thing. No matter what he believes, if you see that somebody is convinced in his belief, that's good. Therefore, at the point of soul, he says, therefore, try to uplift everybody's belief. Try not to stand in his way. Don't put up a stumbling block in his faith. Let him really go along his own way from sense to soul. Then he comes to principle and says, well, that faith must be shown forth not in an outward way, but in an honest inward attitude. That matters. It is not those who do the rituals of the Christian faith that matters. It's the inner attitude, and that is that which matters. Whatever is done or whatever is not of faith is sin. So it comes to the tone of life and shows that with our stronger faith we should really be able to help those of weaker faith for their edification, not for our edification, not to win a new member, but to see that the other one is stronger in his faith. So that finally in this way we build not up contradictions within the community, but are much more of one mind, and in accord with that one mind we are like-minded. And that will unfold at the point of love and will bring in finally the Jews and the Gentiles into one faith. So he gives, so to say, a line of action, a policy, so to say, how to spread the faith. Quite different than the missionaries that go to Africa or went to Africa or to India and tried to do it with force and with all kinds of tricks. All right?
Is that expression, Jews and Gentiles, another way of saying universal?
Yes, because they had only two classifications. Either you were a Jew belonging, so to say, to the chosen people or to the others. So Gentile was everybody else. Just as we say, he's either a Christian scientist or he's not a Christian scientist, no matter if he's a Congregationalist or if he's a Buddhist or whatever. We make the same distinction. There's only either to be a Christian scientist or not. Yeah, to be or not to be, that's the question. All right. We go to the next and last subject, mind, and most interesting tone of mind. Again, there we see how it is adapted to the historical scenery of his time, and what he is saying here would be a general principle, then it would be of no value, because he speaks, most of the text is all about his own friends and himself, and especially his friends. But when one sees what is the principle behind it, the motive power behind it, then naturally one begins to see this is a principled attitude that we can use also for ourselves. Namely, we have seen when we come down through the Christ order to the point of mind, mind manifests itself with power as a true idea. We get there the manifesting power, we get there the activities, we get there really the doers of the world. And here too, we suddenly get to a passage and chapters that are all showing what the doers of the Christ are and what they have done. So the question perhaps is here, how does the Christ manifest itself in man at the point of mind? And so he begins with mind as mind. What does he show there? Yes, mind as mind.
Show the reflection of ideas, they're seeing them as ideas, isn't he? And persuaded of you this time, not of the Father, not of the Christ,
yes,
but of you.
Yes, he's persuaded about you, about what really? Yeah, about that they are filled with all knowledge. Yeah, here we really go down to the point of mind now, mind as mind, that says now that Christ translation comes to the point of mind and gives us the full knowledge of what we have to do, how to do it. So we are filled with the mind of Christ at this point. Here the mind of Christ touches us, which knows all. It's full of all knowledge. Now, when we go to spirit, what does that full knowledge really do? What have we here in spirit? Yes?
Well, then it enables others to understand the intelligence that's manifested in mind comes as understanding.
Well, how does he show that?
Well, Paul's teaching was far and wide. He just went from one place to the other.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Is that already at that point that he shows that he goes far and wide? Yeah, but what he wants to show is really what he wants to bring out, that understanding. But perhaps we have to show it, how it is brought out to the Christ. Because he says here that everybody, therefore, is touched by the power of the Spirit of God calls it that we are sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Can you hear now Spirit coming in? That this intelligence of mind, as I said, you are now filled with all knowledge. But that whole knowledge must now, through this Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit, through the power of Spirit, be applied as understanding, so that you can now tackle your situation. That's what he brings out here. Perhaps you have also noticed, I don't know if you have, he says something very interesting about that the power of Spirit, that he says, I'm only going to tell you what I have experienced, not what I have heard from others. He doesn't say it in these words, but in similar words. And that gives a clue why he does not relate anything of what is in the Gospels, of what he has heard from all the disciples, all the wonders that Jesus did, the healings and so on. He doesn't relate in all his epistles, not only in Romans, in all the epistles, he never relates that. And here you have a clue to that, that he says, I'm not going to tell you anything else but that which I have understood, and which I have proved, and which I have demonstrated. I speak out of my own experience, of my own understanding. So that he says, I'm a doer of the Holy Spirit. I don't just talk about things that others have done. It's a mighty point in it. Gives him naturally the authority to say what he says, because he has lived it, he has experienced it, it's his own nature, and he doesn't have to tell a nice little story about somebody who has done some wonders. It wouldn't really go over. He didn't want to talk about the Christ. He wanted to talk the Christ. That was one great point in his life, that, so to say, he taught by what he was, and he didn't teach so much by what he has heard of Christ and Christianity. His life was the teaching. That's why in his letters, very often, like in Corinthians and so, he tells them about his life, that his life was proving the Christ. And this is naturally terrific, that if we teach and preach something, it should be really out of our life, not about what we have read in books of others. And then it has substance, then one is, so to say, filled with the Spirit of God and with the power of the Spirit of God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That's quite different if you act that way. So he only speaks about what he has demonstrated and understood. And so he says, you see, that will happen to you. Ye too shall understand. Then we come to Saul, and that's an interesting point in one way. How does he show? How does he show here the point of mind, of doer, of the activity? How is it brought out at the point of soul? Yes.
Boundless, unlimited service activity.
Yes.
Doing.
Yes. That enormous, unlimited, boundless sense of activity. He went around the world. He was speaking to them. He was already planning. It seems that his letter that he wrote to the Romans was from Corinth, when he was staying in Corinth, and was telling them about his plans. He said, now I will go back to Jerusalem and will bring to the brethren in Jerusalem, I will bring them money that I have collected in the various churches in Asia Minor and in Greece, and I will bring that money to the poor saints in Jerusalem. Apparently at that time the mother church in Jerusalem wasn't very rich, and so he brought them, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem and bring them the gifts, and then I will come to Rome, and then in Rome I hope that somebody will accompany me to Spain. And so he had terrific plans. He could see that the Christ mind at the point of soul has an unlimited range of activity. Just uses Paul in an unrestricted way. And so that he can come with a full measure of the blessings of Christ. Well, it didn't happen quite the way he hoped it would. Quite the way he hoped it would. If he hadn't gone back with the money to Jerusalem to help the people there, he would not have been sacked. But when he went back, he got into trouble and was made prisoner, as you know, and then as a prisoner was brought to Rome. That was not exactly his traveling schedule that he had in mind. But still, apparently, the Christ mind used every avenue and every opportunity to fulfill the idea just the same. It couldn't prevent it. Yes. At the point of principle, we see another kind of activity, namely a principled activity. What do we have here?
About the power of deliverance.
About the power of deliverance, that he could see that if they would go along with the Christ order at the point of mind, that the activity and the power of principle, the power of spiritual power, of deliverance, of healing, and therefore the deliverance from evil as a spiritual power. Yeah. Then we go further to life. It gives another sense of power and of action. This is a beautiful part here. What does he talk about here?
The active power of Christ.
Yes, yes. Now it's the act of all the individual followers of the Christ. He speaks about all his friends that he has met and that are in Rome, or also about those who intend to go to Rome, and tells them to receive them well, and because of what, and then he tells them of their activities in the Christ. Each one in a different way, he shows them. So that he says, you see, this activity of the Christ is an individual demonstration. Each one can show through his living faith that he can be a follower of Christ. We have here, he talks about Phoebe. I don't know if I always pronounce those names right. Phoebe, who was a help for many. Can you see a help, the tone of mind for many? Then about Priscilla and Aquila, they must have been wonderful. They laid down their own necks for Paul's life. They really were willing to sacrifice their own life when it was necessary. And for Paul's life, one gets a little bit of a feeling what this community, this church, that Christian church of a few people really went through, and what they sacrificed, and how courageous they were, and what they were willing to sacrifice. They were not constantly asking, what do I get from it? They were willing to say, what can I give for it? That wonderful sense of life, of laying down the mortal for Paul, for Paul's life. Of another one, of a Mary, he said that she bestowed much labor on us. Again, you have a sense of our activity. He speaks about how they should receive his fellow prisoners. Gosh, we are not yet good enough. Huh? We cannot yet speak of my fellow prisoners. Huh? We have they really were willing to go right to the end of the road. Huh? Even if it meant prison, and they had a wonderful fellowship as prisoners in Christ, and also prisoners in walls, being locked up. Those who labored in the Lord is another expression, and he speaks about his friends. Can you hear here how he had a wonderful group of friends that were just willing to help Paul, who felt that was their individual contribution to really sacrifice their own neck if it was necessary for the idea. See, it's that quality which is needed in every new idea, in every new movement, that terrific sense of being willing to give up everything, to pay the last farthing for it. Or it hasn't the substance in it, it hasn't the depth in it, if that is not there.
Isn't there a great sense of fatherhood running all through that tone?
Absolutely. It's a great fatherhood. Says, take care of them, receive them, be good to them. Huh? Yes, yes, yes. That's a wonderful tone here. It was something, a little bit of what we experienced during the war, and perhaps in the few years after the war, for this idea of science. And here in America, nobody knew anything about it. There was that nucleus of wonderful people who were just willing. It's one of the most wonderful time I had in my life, those days where we just were willing to sacrifice everything for it. A whole bunch of people who were seeing that if they would not put everything into it, that the idea could not survive, and it wouldn't. You could see how much we had to put into it. Actually, you don't know how much we put into it, but you just can know that we put everything into it. And if we wouldn't have put it in, it wouldn't have survived. Even in that way that we have put everything into it, somehow the chances were very thin that the idea would survive. And many times it seemed as if it was not possible. And looking back to those times, naturally, one feels they were the most wonderful years of one's life. That's always so. If one goes through a battle and comes out of it unscarred than one feels that time was the best time one has in one's life. It's not those years or times when everything seemed to be rosy and easy, but this is really that gives value to an idea, gives depth to an idea, and the life to an idea. Therefore, I think that the greatest danger for every movement, the devil doesn't like to talk about it. You know, it's the greatest danger is always that moment when something begins to blossom and things get easier. I wish one could keep our idea that we have as the idea of science so alive that it would always give us a lot of demands, always a lot of sacrifice, and not the other way around, that everything is a rosy pathway. I dread the time that this idea is accepted full-heartedly and there is no more struggle, there is no more sacrifice, that one is no more ridiculed for it, no more persecuted for it. That will be a very dangerous moment. We always should remain pioneers, always. Always go forward and always be persecuted, always be misunderstood, always be misrepresented, always be ridiculed, always lose friends, always lose our esteem. Just go forward, forward, forward. Because only that has a future, a real future. Yes. So, that was a side remark, but a very important one. When we come to mind as truth, there he shows that that activity would give us the power to destroy error. God shall bruise Satan under your feet, and so makes men a fellow worker in Christ. Can you hear the activity of mind as truth? It's a fellow worker, that's truth, of Christ. So that finally at the tone of love, the subtone of love, he shows that that power will make known the mystery of the Christ to all nations, so that there will be glory God through Jesus Christ. Just fulfilling that whole prophecy and saying, well, the power of the divine mind as mind says, it will give you all the knowledge you need. The power of that divine mind as spirit will use that knowledge as the Holy Ghost. It will give you understanding for every situation. That power of the divine mind as soul will give you an activity that is boundless, limitless. It will lead us into every avenue of thought, into every corner of the world. You will be not restricted in that activity. And it does bring one to the whole world. And that that power of mind at the point of principle is a spiritual power for demonstration. And that at the point of life, that power of mind is that power that asks us to follow Christ in a living way, in a living faith, so that everybody shows forth the living activity of that mind of Christ. Doing what? At the point of truth. At the point of truth, destroying all error. But he even says there, avoid all the opponents. Yes, that he says, avoid all the opponents. Because leave it to God. Leave it to God to bruise, to God shall bruise Satan under your feet. So that finally, as a fellow worker in Christ, you will help to bring salvation to all nations. That's how he finishes up at love. Yes, that would be Romans. So we make a break here before we start with Christianity.